I took no part in that killing. I stood by the shore and listened to the birds cry, and I watched Bebbanburg and heard the blades doing their work. And Breeder came to stand beside me, and she took my hand and stared south across the white-flecked grey to the great fortress on its crag.
"Is that your house?" she asked.
"That is my house."
"He called you Lord."
"I am a Lord." She leaned against me.
"You think the Christian God is watching us?"
"No," I said, wondering how she knew that I'd been thinking about that very question.
"He was never our God," she said fiercely. "We worshipped Woden and Thor and Yoster and all the other gods and goddesses. And then the Christians came and we forgot our gods. And now the Danes have come to lead us back to them."
She stopped abruptly. "Did Ravan tell you that?"
"He told me some," she said, "but the rest I worked out. There's war between the gods, Uhtred, war between the Christian God and our gods. And when there is war in Asgard, the gods make us fight for them on Earth."
"And we're winning?" I asked. Her answer was to point to the dead monks, scattered on the wet grass, their robes bloodied. And now that their killing was done, Ragnar dragged Wayland out of his sickbed. The man was plainly dying, for he was shivering and his wounds stank, but he was conscious of what was happening to him. His reward for killing me had been a heavy bag of good silver coins that weighed as much as a newborn babe, and that we found beneath his bed, and we added it to the monastery's small hoard to be divided among our men. Wayland himself lay on the bloodied grass, looking from me to Ragnar.
"You want to kill him?"
Ragnar asked me. "Yes," I said, for no other response was expected. Then I remembered the beginning of my tale, the day when I had seen Ragnar oar dancing just off this coast, and how next morning Ragnar had brought my brother's head to Bebbanburg. "I want to cut off his head," I said. Wayland tried to speak, but could only manage a guttural groan. His eyes were on Ragnar's sword. Ragnar offered the blade to me.
"It's sharp enough," he said, "but you'll be surprised by how much force is needed. An axe would be better."
Wayland looked at me now. His teeth chattered and he twitched. I hated him. I had disliked him from the first, but now I hated him. Yet I was still oddly anxious about killing him, even though he was already half dead. I have learned that it is one thing to kill in battle, to send a brave man's soul to the corpse hall of the gods, but quite another to take a helpless man's life. And he must have sensed my hesitation, for he managed a pitiful plea for his life.
"I will serve you," he said.
"Make the bastard suffer," Ragnar answered for me.
"Send him to the corpse goddess, but let her know he's coming by making him suffer."
I do not think he suffered much. He was already so feeble that even my puny blows drove him to swift unconsciousness. But even so, it took a long time to kill him. I hacked away. I have always been surprised by how much effort is needed to kill a man. The Skalds make it sound easy, but it rarely is. We are stubborn creatures. We cling to life and are very hard to kill. But Wayland's soul finally went to its fate as I chopped and sawed and stabbed and at last succeeded in severing his bloody head. His mouth was twisted into a rictus of agony, and that was some consolation.